Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 2 this morning. I want to look at a passage of Scripture this morning which is most amazing. We'll probably spend a couple Sundays on this passage of Scripture. I pray God would give me grace to preach it in a manner glorifying to Him. And I pray the truths that we hear from God's Word would encourage and strengthen us in our Christian life. Galatians chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture. Listen to these words. Chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Listen to that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life which I now live, new life, in the flesh, I live, not by my faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What an amazing passage of Scripture. May God bless the reading of His Word. Really, beloved, could there ever be a more glorious and yet solemn statement than this statement made by the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Galatians? What immeasurable depth and boundless treasures are to be found in these simple words of the Apostle Paul. A crucified life, yet one that lives. A faith, and yet not his own. And a life constrained by the love of Christ. Amazing, astounding, and it's a glorious statement. And as I studied over this passage of Scripture and prayed, especially this morning, I was amazed again at the wonderful and infinite mercy and grace of God. And like we said while we were singing songs this morning, oh, how great a debtor I am to grace. I think this is one of the major problems we have in our Christian life, is that we forget as God's people how much we are indebted to Christ. If we ever forget how much we're indebted to Christ, something vital and essential in our Christianity is going to weaken and die. We'll not only lose our joy in our salvation, but we'll lose the joy of telling others of Christ. We'll lose the life and vitality of everything we do for Christ. Our service shall weaken. We'll become more worldly minded, more slothful and indifferent in the things of Christ. I like what an old preacher once said about the cross of Calvary. When Paul said, I glory nothing but in the cross of Calvary, he said we must not only begin at the cross of Calvary, but we must always remain in the shadows of Calvary. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, a crucified life, yet one that lives. That depicts Christianity wonderfully, beautifully. I'm crucified with Christ. Yet I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life that I now live. It's almost as though Paul's saying, the old life is gone, and it is. The life that I now live as a crucified yet living believer in Christ, the life that I now live, I live not by my own faith, but by the faith of the Son of God, and He crowns it with, who loved me. It makes it personal. He doesn't say, loved us. He said, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's salvation. That's Christianity. It's a personal thing. And when we lose that intimacy, dearly beloved, we lose the vital, essential power and source of Christianity. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. The love of such divine and blessed truth far excels all human reasoning and understanding. And yet brings the greatest joy and excitement to every true believer. For that which is foolishness to the natural man, Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, that which is foolish to the natural man gives life and vitality to all those who have been made alive by the Spirit of God. Oh, beloved, to know and to experience effectually. That means in reality, genuinely, something that affects my life. Not simply to say that this truth exists. Not simply to state that I know how to quote Galatians 2:20. But to know and experience personally, by faith, that crucified life that lives in Christ is what every true believer longs and yearns to know more perfectly as he travels through this present world. I want to know more of this life of Christ living in me. Yet I realize that it cannot be known and experienced without me having a crucified life to myself. Crucified to self, crucified to sin, crucified to the world. Because only then shall I know something of Christ living in me. Beloved, we live in a day and age to where this intimacy of which Paul speaks is all but foreign and alien to many believers. A simple intellectualism has replaced that personal, intimate relationship that we should always cultivate and nourish as God's children. There's more, much more, intimately more, eternally more, infinitely more to Christianity than simply bearing the name of a Christian. It's a life of God, Henry Scougal said, a life of God in the soul of man. That's what Paul's saying. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's almost as though Paul's writing this, inspired by the Spirit. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. And then he's like, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not me. Christ living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That depicts the Christian life. That depicts what it's all about. And when we lose that, dear the beloved, we're going to lose something vital in our Christian life. We can't serve Christ without having this intimate knowledge of being or having a life with Christ and being crucified with Him. One of the reasons I believe most churches have lost their desire to win souls, to preach the gospel, to go out into the streets, on the highways and byways and tell sinners about Christ is because they've lost this understanding, this effectual working of faith of Christ living in them. I was talking to Brother Charles before services this morning about the work we did in Germany with the homeless and the drug addicts for 14 years every Saturday, going down and feeding them and clothing them and preaching the gospel to them and sitting down and witnessing to them, weeping with them, praying with them. Sometimes in wee hours of the morning or night, they call and we go out and we talk to them, we tell them about Christ, unwearied in that service. And I'm telling you, the rewards were beyond anything you could get material or financially or physical. It was a spiritual reward of telling others about Christ. And telling them from an intimate knowledge, this is what Christ has done for me. Being an ex-drug addict and alcoholic myself, speaking to these sinners that were alcoholics and drug addicts, I could speak to them with an understanding that I know where you've been, I know where you are. I've been there and it's the love of Christ which brought me out of that. Preaching, this is Christ felt preaching, which George Whitefield said every preacher should desire and long to have. Christ felt preaching. We love somebody immeasurably. Beloved, we will spend a lot of time talking about them and telling others of this great love. This is what Paul's saying here in this statement. And so this morning I want to begin to humbly examine this most blessed and extraordinary statement in hopes that we can draw, glean from what Paul is saying, that our lives might be different. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, that there must be first a crucifixion before there can ever be a life with Christ. This is important. I need you to listen. There must be a crucifixion with Christ before there could ever be a life with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet Christ liveth in me. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There must be a crucified life before there could be a life lived with Christ. This is no ordinary crucifixion of which Paul speaks. Nothing a man can hope to do or perform himself, no works or merits of any kind are allowed in this crucifixion. Man would give his best, sacrifice his pleasures, his greatest prize, his works to accomplish such a crucifixion. But they'll all fail eternally short, or fall eternally short. This is a special crucifixion. It is one united with Christ. I am crucified, not simply I am crucified, now listen to this, I am crucified with Christ. The Catholic Church has it wrong when it tries to bear their own crucifixion. This is what Martin Luther learned in the Great Reformation, if you know anything about church history. He strove for years to live a crucified life, yet without Christ. He would take a whip and he'd whip himself till he bled, doing penitence. He would go out and beg for other people in hopes that his good works and good merits would gain him favor in the sight of God. He was always trying to work to please God. Form his own crucifixion. But that's not this kind of crucifixion. Mankind will always offer his greatest prize, just so that he can boast and say, look what I've obtained. My works, my merits have obtained favor with God. Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say, I'm crucified. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Big difference. But Christ can only live within us. Christ can only live within us if we have been crucified with Him. An old hymn, two verses, says this. Listen, these words are wonderful. I love the old hymns. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. No more I, but Christ that lives in me. Second verse. Within my heart, O Lord, fulfill the purpose of Thy death and pain, that all may know Thou livest still in blood-washed hearts to rule and reign. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. Impossible if we're not first crucified with Him. What does this crucifixion mean then, with Christ? It's not literally. It's not literally. Paul didn't hang on that cross with Christ. He was there by himself. Christ hung on that cross by himself. It's not literal. It's mystical. Christ, as our head and representative, was crucified in our place. We read Isaiah 53. For our iniquities, for our sins, for our transgressions, our sickness was laid upon Him. We're healed by His stripes. No, it's a mystical. That's what Paul's saying. When Christ was crucified as my representative, as my head, I was crucified with Christ. Christ bore the curse of the law. He bore all my sins. He bore all my iniquities. It's a mystical, united crucifixion. He bore all my sins and all my iniquities. He bore them away. They took Him out of the way. He nailed Him to the cross. That's what he's saying. I'm crucified with Christ. All my sins and all my iniquities, the curse of the law, Christ bore them all for me. Therefore, I'm crucified with Christ. Over in Colossians chapter 2, I want you to read this with me. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, Christ, made alive, quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now watch this. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. What was that? That was the law of God. The law of God was against us. The law of God condemned us. It cursed us. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was never intended to bring in salvation. The law was intended to show sin what sin is. That's why when we preach to a sinner, or when we tell the gospel, the law has to be part of that. This is what God demands of you. Perfect obedience. Perfect holiness. Well, I can't bring that. Nobody can bring that. Christ can. Christ did. And that's only when we're in Christ are we going to be justified before God. Because our justification has to be the same justification that God has. Says He blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, it says, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. That's what Paul's saying. I'm crucified with Christ. You ask me while I'm happy, and I will tell you why. Because my sins are gone. I say, very the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of shame. But I love that old cross. Why? I was crucified with Christ on that cross. The curse of the law He bore for me. He took all my sins and all my iniquities and all my sicknesses. He took all of those things. He bore them all. He not only bore them all, He bore them so far away that have no more power of condemnation. I will never be condemned before the eyes of God because of what Christ did. I am crucified with Christ. What a glorious statement that is. I am crucified with Christ. He destroyed and made an end to them all. Do you comprehend that as God's children? He's destroyed and made an end to them all. Christ has bore the curse of the law and our sins. This is to be crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. That's something we should rise up daily reminding ourselves with. I'm crucified with Christ. I was talking earlier again with Charles about our past life. And every man, woman, child is born a sinner in this world. The majority of people don't want to believe that. But when God allows a sinner to go through the dredges of sin, like alcoholism or drugs, it's not that there are more sinners than others, but sometimes they're more aware when God saves them what sin actually is. When we was on the streets in Germany witnessing to those drunks and drug addicts, some of them not bathing for years, feeding them, clothing them, preaching the gospel of Christ to them. Beloved, I'm telling you, that does something to a Christian to realize the depths that sin will take man. And God, out of His love, has drawn us from those depths. He's forgiven me all my sins. It's a glory to say I'm crucified with Christ. It's not my own crucifixion, not my own works, not my own merits, but I was mystically on that cross with Calvary, with Christ on Calvary. Mystically, not literally. When He said it is finished, and bowed His head and died, and God the Father was pleased, in Christ, God the Father is pleased with me for eternity. There is now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ. We forget that. We get so wrapped up in the hectic hassles of the day, the needs of life, the inner controversies of the churches and everything, politics and world news and our daily need. We forget that. And when we forget that, we lose the essence of true Christianity. It's all about Christ. And it's all about Him living in me, working in me, through me. I'm crucified with Christ. This is what Paul meant when he said, for me to live is Christ. That's all I live for. That's all my life has meaning for, is to live, is for Christ. When I live for Christ, my life changes. Everything I do is for Christ. My job, everything. I begin to look around me and see sinners. This is what the church definitely needs. We need to get back to realizing that we're here to be a witness to the world. We're here to be a light unto the world. We're here to tell sinners about the amazing, infinite love and mercy and grace of God in Christ. And yet if we forget that in our own lives, we're not going to tell others with the same joy and excitement. The church has become silent amongst the ranks of scoffers, who Peter says will say, where is the promise of His coming? And that voice is growing louder with each generation, with each day. And the scoffer has many faces. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless. Go through the Bible sometime in the concordance and look up that word nevertheless. It's always in a wonderful place. I'm crucified with Christ. Praise God, Paul didn't leave it there. He didn't stop there. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. I thought in my old life, before I knew Christ, that I knew what life was about. When I went down to join the army, I wanted to get the farthest away from my family, friends, and everybody, get a far away, even from God. I went down there and said, you can go to Kansas City, Colorado, or Germany, the other side of the world. I said, send me to the other side of the world. Thought I could run from God. God was in Germany just as much as He was in California. I thought I knew what life was about. But when God saved me and showed me that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, I finally realized what life is all about. It's a life lived with Christ. For Christ. To Christ. Through Christ. When we keep that in our minds, dearly beloved, that doesn't matter which lot God gives us to bear, what cross we have to carry, because Christ makes it worth carrying. And we carry it with joy. We could never know life with Christ. Never. Until we actually, mystically, by faith, become crucified with Christ. That's why Paul says that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Isn't that amazing? I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me. Someone lives in me. Dwells in me, moves me, motivates me, stirs me. It's Christ. The heaven of heavens could not find a dwelling place for God. Read Isaiah. The heaven of heavens could not find a dwelling place for God. The earth is His footstool. God chooses the soul and heart of the poor sinner to dwell and live. Lord, what a glory, salvation we have in Christ. That's the greatest news we can tell anybody. Let me tell you about somebody who loved me and gave himself for me. And when we keep that in our hearts and minds, beloved, we'll be a thriving church. Might not be with size, but I'm telling you, God will bless us and use us, open up doors effectually to witness to others. I'd love to see us grow in a burden for souls. To reach out to others who are in need of Christ, telling them about a wonderful salvation. But that'll never happen until it becomes wonderful again to us. Oh, how great a debtor we are to grace. I pray this week we concentrate on this first part. I want to take time to look at the other part next week with a little bit more time than what we have today. But I love how he says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live. What kind of life is that? The Lord's life. The life that I now live. Spiritual life. Not physical. Spiritual life. And alive to God. The life that I now live. It's not dead. It's not indifferent. The life that I now live. I live, glory statement, by the faith of the Son of God. A glory statement. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. We'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that these few minutes this morning, as few as they were, Father, that God, they were enough to stir in our hearts and our minds, to remind us, renew to our hearts and our minds the great love of Christ. God, I pray that You'd help us to be moved inwardly and outwardly by this glorious statement, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Oh, dear God, help us to realize this crucified life. We still bear this cross in our daily lives, mortifying the sins that separate us from Thee. Lord, we pray, open our hearts up to these wonderful truths. Be honored and glorified, we pray, in all that we say and do. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. Use us in this community. Lord, as a light, a true light, one that sends warmth and illumination to tell others about the wonderful grace of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we could never tell them as we should unless that light burns fervently in our own hearts and minds. Oh God, we pray, use us. It's in Christ's name we ask these things.